Rebecca, joined once again by Sarah.
Hello.
And Mr. Jonathan.
Hello, it's your vagina dot fair, dear.
We're so excited to be here today. I'm baby spies.
You do really good Emma Bunting, actually.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very excited to eat some food today. I don't eat much food, but when I do...
So the reason why they're doing such funny accents is because we're talking about international food today, and I brought a British smorgasbord for my friends to try today.
Yay! Yay! Excited!
But before we get into the British food, why don't we start with your guys' cuisine?
Jonathan, you want to start?
Yeah, well, I am from North Carolina, and my family runs a restaurant there called Robin's Nest, R-O-B-B-I-N-S, because it's our family name. And it's definitely North Carolina home cooking. It's very country, so we have a buffet, and they have like an actual pig on the bar where you can like, they've done the barbecue, the pig, North Carolina barbecue style, and you can pick the barbecue out on the bar. And then there's like ham hocks and cabbage and like string beans that have been cooked with pork and coleslaw and fatback and hush puppies. And so it's all like country food, like chicken pastry, which I mean, most people, if you're not from there, don't know.
It's like
it's like a floppy pasta with like chicken in it. And it's very regional. And so it's really fun to go back home and get to eat all of those foods that literally, if I went and got barbecue anywhere else other than North Carolina, the barbecue is like a red sauce. Uh-huh. But like in North Carolina, barbecue is like vinegar. And it has a very different flavor. So when I moved away from North Carolina and like I first moved to Maryland and I would like get a barbecue sandwich and I was like, excuse me, ma'am, there's a red sauce on this. And then also I thought everyone had sweet tea with every meal. I just thought that was what everybody drank. So moving away, I'd be like, can I get a sweet tea? And they'd be like, we have a raspberry tea. And I was like, you take that garbage away. How dare you? And then only then was I like, people have water. Just like with your meal? Ew, that's disgusting. And now I'm older and know it's much healthier to just have water. Yeah. But when I go home, it's still nice to visit my family restaurant and get to like eat all of those local foods that I can't find anywhere else.
Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah, well, I understand that because actually I'm actually first generation in my family here. My mom is from Denmark. So if you don't know where Denmark is, it's a very small country. It's above Germany. So we have a lot of traditional Danish foods that we eat that my mom made growing up that I thought everybody ate. And then people were like, what is that? Mm-hmm. So we would have things. It's kind of like a Danish meatball. It's called frikadelle. And it's actually a ground pork that you combine with shaved onion. And you put like things like maybe some spices in it, and then you fry them
good.
In the pan.
Yeah, it does.
I actually made them at a cooking class in high school, and it was my whole menu was like this Danish thing, and everybody seemed to love it. It really is delicious.
Ooh.
So I love that. My daughter likes them. Something else that's maybe a little bit stranger that we love is we like to eat something called leopastite. It's liver paste, basically, like liver pate.
No, thank you.
It's really good. Well, so you put it on something, we call it rubot. And so it's kind of like a pumpernickel bread, but it has special, like you can't actually buy the ingredients to make this kind of flatbread in the U.S., which my mom desperately tries to find it, and she can't, so like family in Denmark will have to send it over. You can actually find a similar type of bread at IKEA. That you can make. And so she'll buy that sort of bread blend and make it. And then you put the leopastite on it, the liver pate. And then you can put things like fried onion, like, you know, like the crispy fried onions on top, or cucumber, or like bacon. It's really good with bacon.
Okay,
sounds
pretty good.
Yeah, so we eat things like that. And let me think if there's anything else. There's tons of different traditional type of Danish foods. Those are kind
of your mom
like
made
the,
some Danish cookies and sent them to the library one time for
she
Christmas.
She did. There's lots of yummy Danish Christmas cookies that you can make. Oh, yeah. A lot of, if you just look up Danish recipes, there's some good ones. I don't think I... Oh, the last thing I will mention that is my favorite that my family makes when I come and visit is... it's called fleskesteit. It's actually a roast pork that has cracklings around it. Like, it's actually, like... Yeah, I think it's the fat that is, like, super crunchy. And you eat it with, like, we eat a lot of stuff with red cabbage. So we'll eat, like, the fagadella, the meatballs with the red cabbage, sometimes on a sandwich. It's really
delicious.
That
does sound really good.
Yeah.
I like cabbage.
So we eat a lot of open-faced sandwiches. So I remember going to school when I was a kid and, like, you don't eat open-faced sandwiches? They're like, what is an open-faced sandwich? I have peanut butter and jelly. And I'm like, okay. So.
Yeah. I had a very similar experience. I'm the first American generation in my family, too. My family's from England. And even though I grew up in the north here in the States, I was raised half and half in both countries. And when I was in America, I was still in a very much like a bubble of my English culture.
I feel that.
So even like today, even, I'm still constantly finding out what is different between my childhood and a typical American childhood. So that's always fun. Especially when I got married. My husband's from the Midwest. That was quite a culture shock.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. Lots of casseroles. Lots of, like, cream of chicken and cream of mushroom stuff that I can't eat. So
yes. My in-laws, we don't make casseroles back home. That wasn't, like, a traditional food. But, I mean, as you get older, you find recipes. You're, like, in your 20s. And, I mean, casseroles are real easy.
It's true.
So my in-laws are Cuban. And one day they came and they had lunch with me and my mom. And my mom and I had made a casserole. And they were so confused. I was like, we're going to have a casserole. And they were like, we've never had casserole. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? You've never had casserole? And so they were eating it. And I could tell they were being very polite. Because if you don't grow up eating soggy, cheesy food, it's probably a weird thing to eat. But to us, we were like, this is wonderful. And afterwards, they were like, what is the recipe for casserole? And I was like, that's adorable. There are 1,000. And so I told them, like, I was like, you can make casserole with cream of mushroom soup. And all you need is, like, some French onions and maybe some, like, some tater tots and some ground beef. You can make it with anything. And my grandma-in-law, my abuela-in-law, she said, so it's kind of garbage food. And I was like, yeah. I was like, but I like it.
That's really cute.
That's so funny. Well, you know, also part of growing up was we would have a very Danish thing is black licorice.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A lot of people in the U.S. don't like black licorice. And so there is not just in Denmark one black licorice. There's subtle levels of black licorice. So, like, there would be sweet, like a sweet black licorice, kind of like what we're used to eating here, but there's also salty black licorice. And some of them are so salty, like, they are just so salty that they're almost inedible. And so I would actually bring it to school and do like a taste test, which is really funny because I'd be like, here, eat this one. And just to see their face like, this is disgusting. when I was in grad school, actually, I brought it for all like my professors and my classmates to eat one. And because I had just done a study in Denmark, mm-hmm. so I brought some back with me and they all tasted and they're like, this tastes like car tires and blood and salt, like. So yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah. I like it
growing up. We had the kind of hot dogs that we ate were regional. They're bright leaf hot dogs, so they are literally bright red.
Oh,
when you boil them it turns the water pink. And I had only ever had these hot dogs. I thought all hot dogs were bright red. So as an adult, I was actually disgusted when I went to the grocery store. I was like, ew, what are these ballpark hot dogs and why are they skin colored? Ew. And then I like would have my family send me frozen like boxes of these bright leaf hot dogs. But if you've never eaten them, they're very jarring. And so I like would have boyfriends growing up and I'd be like, want me to make you a hot dog? And I'd like serve them this literally like red hot dog on a bun and they would be like, I'm not eating that. That is cancer on a bun. But
ours was the same. We had very red, like long hot dogs that we would eat in Denmark. That's a thing, like you go get the hot dog, they're huge, they're very bright red and they fill them up with the the crispy onions and just all kinds of different toppings, mm-hmm. and it just tasted delicious.
Oh, yum.
I could say when you go to an English grocery store, there is an American foods section, and they have, it's kind of like our Publix here has a British food. It's very small. You'll find things like Pop-Tarts, and then they have hot dogs, but this is what reminded me, they look like they're in a jar, and they're bright red, and they're in bright red liquid.
Oh, how funny.
So I wonder if that's similar to what...
Oh, how funny.
I was like, that's not a hot dog? What is that?
We had a German exchange student for a year growing up, and she became absolutely addicted to Pop-Tarts.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like 17, so, you know, a full peak metabolism. Mm-hmm. And my mom... like ended up hiding Pop-Tarts in her underwear drawer because the German exchange student named Katrin would just come home and just like eat Pop-Tarts and Pop-Tarts and Pop-Tarts.
Yep. Awesome. Okay. You guys ready to try some English food?
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Are you excited or are you nervous?
I'm only nervous about one.
Yes. Well, you were talking about unpleasant things. This is called Marmite. This is what my family used whenever we were dating somebody and we would bring them home. We would be like, try this. And if you liked it, you pass. If you didn't like it, you didn't pass. But I'll tell you something about Marmite. It was invented in the late 19th century by a German scientist named Justus Liebig, who discovered brewer's yeast could be concentrated, bottled, and eaten. So in 1902, the Marmite Food Company was founded in Burton-on-Trent, Staffordshire, where the raw material was readily available from the town's brewers. The original recipe contained salt, spices, and celery, later folic acid, vitamin B12, thiamine, and riboflavin were added in high concentrations. And it was actually used in a part of the rations in World War I.
Oh.
Because it was, British soldiers were so homesick, it reminded them of home. And it doesn't go bad in a very long time. So it is named after a French casserole dish called a marmite. I have no idea why.
Huh.
So there you go.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Who thought, hey, look at this yeast on top of this brew. I'm going to take it, and we're going to make a spread, and we're going to eat it.
Right?
Well, a lot of British food is very much centered around, like, making the best of what you have and using all your rations and stuff. So,
with the history, that makes sense, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, eating an animal, using all the bits and pieces,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
And you're getting your B12, so no wonder it was part of the rations
for
soldiers.
It was actually marketed as like a health thing for kids. So that's why most British children are raised on Marmite. So I have Marmite here for you guys on toast. We didn't have any butter, but...
I noticed you grabbed the one with the least, Sarah.
It's okay if you don't like... It's a very strong flavor. Okay. It's okay if you don't like it. Even
should
British
we,
people are very...
Should we do it together?
Ooh, it has an intense smell.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Oh.
There we go. Need a napkin, Sarah? We have tea to
it's
wash it
delicious.
Down with.
Delicious.
What do you think, Jonathan?
I like it. It's very, it has a very, like, dense flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Has something.
It reminds me, I'm surprised you don't like it, Sarah, because it's kind of almost livery tasting to me.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. It's like very, like.
I'll bring some liver.
Bitter. It's like a little bitter and salty. So.
It's very salty.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it in like stews
mm-hmm.
as like a bouillon. It's really delicious with cheese on a sandwich.
Oh, God.
It's similar to Vegemite, which is in Australia, mm-hmm. which everyone knows from the song, a Vegemite sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I really
like
gave
it?
It a shot.
You did.
I did.
Good for you.
I haven't had it in a long time. I thought maybe. No.
Like, it's salty That's enough funny. That, like, I would not be able to have more than this piece.
Yes, there is
but
kind
I
of a lot
it.
On this toast. Because there was
mm-hmm.
no butter on it, it didn't spread as evenly.
Mm.
Butter kind of cuts down. Kind of like how some people have water with their whiskey to cut down the strength of the flavor.
Amateurs.
All right, so let's wash it down with our cup of tea.
Yeah.
Yay!
Twinnings, of course, because we're British here.
Uh-huh.
Well, what should we dive into next? So we're having kind of like a tea here. Not a high tea, but a regular tea. We have a cream tea, which is the scones with Devonshire clotted cream on it and strawberry jam.
I want to save that for last. That
Me
looks
too.
So good.
We've got jammy dodgers, which are a type of cookie or a biscuit, as we would call
Yum.
Them. And then we've got straight up chocolate. We've got galaxy chocolate.
Ooh.
Shall we do the maybe the cookies?
The Jammy okay. Dodgers?
Yeah.
Some people might recognize Jammy Dodgers from Doctor Who.
Oh.
The 11th Doctor, Matt Smith's Doctor, was very fond of them. So I've got some information. What Jammy Dodgers are shortbread cookies with raspberry jam in the middle. They are, they have been deemed the most popular biscuit in the United Kingdom. Let's see. They are over 50 years old. They are produced in a factory from a town that I can't pronounce.
50 years old? They taste pretty good, though.
The biscuit is named after Roger the Dodger, a comic book character featured in The Beano, which I don't know what that is. It's too old for me. The comic book first appeared in 1953. And it's the Burton Biscuit Company. It was founded in the 1960s. They are a little bit modified from the original biscuit, but they are similar to the original recipe.
Very good taste.
This is heaven. It's so soft and chewy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yes, I like the chewy aspect, and it's not an overwhelming flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's just kind of buttery mm-hmm. and very, like that, has that nice jam flavor. Mm-hmm.
Did you get these at Publix?
I went to a place on McLeod in Orange County called International Food
Ooh.
Market. But I believe you can find them in Publix
mm-hmm.
and Walmart if your Walmart has an international food section.
Yeah, they're really adorable. So since you can't see them, they're round cookies with a little heart cut out and like strawberry jam in the middle.
Raspberry.
That's why it's got a good zing. Mm-hmm. And they're chewy. Mm.
Yeah, the little really heart like looks kind of like a stained glass heart because it's mm-hmm. like jammy looking.
I like that.
Shortbread cookies are very popular in England.
I love shortbread.
British.
Me mm-hmm. too. It's a very mm-hmm. cute cookie to eat it's very with cute. Tea. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
I'm all marveling right. at both of your restraint and not finishing yours because I'm just like...
I'm really saving it for the clotted cream. I'm not going to lie. I really... That's
okay, so chocolate next?
Chocolate?
Yeah. Okay, dive into the chocolate. This is Galaxy Chocolate. Galaxy Chocolate was made in the 1960s by the Mars Company. In 2014, ranked as the second best-selling chocolate bar in the UK after Cadbury Dairy Milk.
Mmm. Definitely getting that Cadbury taste-ish.
English chocolate is much different from American chocolate. It has a much higher dairy content.
Mmm.
Whereas Hershey's, for example, uses oil.
Oh.
Galaxy uses milk.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite candy in the whole wide world.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. You know what? It kind of makes me think about... There's some foods you make where you can either use like water or milk, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. I always go for the milk because it makes it creamier. Like
if someone makes oatmeal and mm-hmm. they put water in it, I'm like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it kind of makes me think of that where this is just so creamy mm-hmm. and it's just
mm-hmm. delicious, Ooh. Right?
Mm.
I'm savoring mine. Sorry,
I am too.
Very good.
That is super
Thinking
delicious.
About that makes me think of that movie, The Family, with Michelle Pfeiffer, where she talks about the difference between the rest of Europe and how they use cream, but Italians use olive oil. And she has this great monologue where she talks about how that's why Italians are healthier because the olive oil coats your insides. I don't know. She really sold me on olive oil, but ooh, this is very creamy. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yum.
Olive oil is very good for you.
I use olive oil on my face. I know that's not what we're talking about. And I know I'm actually breaking out today because we're all wearing masks, which is like a nightmare for everybody's complexion, but important.
Mask me.
So,
it's called
yes.
mask me.
Yes, I've definitely got it. But yeah, I use olive oil on my face instead of moisturizer because moisturizer breaks me out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
I use straight jojoba oil.
Ooh, yeah. As like a moisturizer? Oh.
Yeah. Don't look at my nice. Face today because like you, I also have acne going on from my mask.
Right. Normally I'm like, hey, I'm doing okay. But like the mask situation, you know, it's important to wear it. But also, oh man, it's really rough on the face.
It really is because it like, traps everything there.
Yeah. And then you clean it and you've got the detergent on your mask. I don't know.
It's true.
Well, for me, I got the makeup on the mask.
Yes.
You mm-hmm. know, and but I just use baby cream.
Aww.
So it's it started where it was leftover cream that, like, you know, lotion, baby lotion mm-hmm. For my kid. And so graduating to other lotions, I was like, well, I don't want to waste it, right? And then I started using it, and I actually think it helped clear my face up a little
bit.
Nice. Yeah, because I think maybe it's a little gentler kind mm-hmm. of lotion.
Yeah.
So that's what I use now. This is totally off-topic.
That's subject. So we're talking about food, and not to move away from cultural food, but do you have a food that you ate as a kid that, like, sometimes when you feel down or nostalgic, you eat? It doesn't have to be something cultural. It could just be something, like, that you ate when you were a kid that's, like, kind of a comfort food.
Oh, yeah, that for me is definitely macaroni and cheese. I just, of course, I love pasta and I love cheese. But when I was a kid, that was kind of like my mom and I, we were very close and we're still very close. And so growing up, you know, especially my parents divorced and it was really hard. And so it was always like our thing to have like macaroni and cheese. And then, of course, growing up to being a little bit older, we paired it. It was my favorite. It might sound weird to some people, but we had steak and macaroni.
That sounds good.
It was so good. It's probably why I'm a carnivore and then just love everything cream and cheese. So,
yeah,
I think that's it for me.
For me, it would be Marmite on toast. Whenever we were sick as kids, the first food that we introduced to ourselves was Marmite on toast. My grandmother always made it for me, and it never tasted as good when somebody else made it. It always tasted better when she made it. And because I think it's so uniquely British, it's one of the things that reminds me of home the most.
Yeah, I can see that. I think for me, it's funny because you bring up, like, when you're a kid and your parent has just gone through a divorce, like, my comfort food is cereal. And I think that stems from, like, when my parents got divorced, I was four, and my mom was, like, a single mom, and she was doing the best she could, but also, like, our extended family wasn't really helping at the time. And so my mom, literally, there were some nights where she did not have food for herself, but we couldn't afford a lot, but she would get me cereal because it made me happy, and it was cheap.
That's nice.
And so as a kid, I just remember getting to eat cereal and watch Power Rangers with my mommy, who was, like, my best friend. Like, now I look back and I think, like, how much more special that is, because I didn't know that, like, to me, I thought we were having a magical time, her and I living together and eating cereal. And, like, now I look back and I'm like, wow, what a strong person to be going through, like, the hardest time in her life, like, losing weight so that family and coworkers noticed and were worried about her, and another neighbor actually brought us food at one point. And not letting that affect her to the point where I only found out about that as an adult. So, yeah, cereal is still my comfort food, right?
That's special. Yeah.
So.
Well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready to move on to the...
So excited.
Yes.
Piece de resistance. So this is a cream tea. It is a scone with Devonshire clotted cream on top and then strawberry jam. So there are two ways to have a cream tea. You can either start with the clotted cream on the bottom, which is the Devonshire way, or you can put the Cornish, the clotted cream on the top, under or on top of the jam, which is the Cornish way.
I'm sorry.
Oh, really good.
Is it good?
I'm having a hard time holding in how good it is. Please continue. The I just might make yummy sounds.
The queen herself prefers to eat it the Cornish way, with jam first and then clotted cream on top. I find that the messier way to eat.
Does it make it taste different?
No, it doesn't make it taste different.
I didn't think so, but I figured I'd ask.
I'm going
to
get mine.
I feel like that would be hard to spread.
Yeah.
It is hard to spread.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't love clotted cream by itself, but on the scone with the jam is delicious.
It's so good.
This is one of my uniquely British treats. It's very hard to find unless you're in a specialty store. So it's one of the things I miss the most from England.
You know what's funny? Right around the corner from my house, there was literally an English, they make the pies. Like
the British Pie Company?
Yes!
Yeah. That's a very good place.
I've literally never been in it. I could probably walk there. And I've been telling myself I want to go try it, but.
Yep, it's very good. They have a restaurant so you can eat there, or you can just get frozen pies to go. And they also have chocolate and crisps and stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I just got a good lump of the clotted cream. I like that.
I love clotted cream.
So creamy.
So good.
Thank you so much for sharing
light,
these
light
with
butter
you.
You're
on
very
this.
Welcome. Thank you for trying it.
Absolutely. Nom, 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 nom.
You deserve it after trying Marmite again.
Thank you. I did give it a whirl.
Has anybody ever had, like, tried a food from another culture and just been, like, either wowed were absolutely repulsed and had to keep your face and be like, I'm fine. Everything's fine.
I was just about
fine.
To ask that question. That's yes. so weird.
Get out of my head.
I know. We constantly think that.
I definitely mm-hmm. have. When I was working at Disney World, we did a potluck Christmas Eve. This is actually how I lost my gallbladder. There was a lot of casseroles, and I apparently was allergic to sour cream and things like that have cream in it. Mm-hmm. And the Russian performer brought something called herring in a red fur coat.
Oh.
I don't even like that name for food.
It has herring in it. It's Mm-mm. a layered dish with like pickled beets mm-hmm. and cabbage Mm-mm. and I think peas and smoked herring and sour cream. I tasted it to be polite. It was the most disgusting thing I have ever had. But my husband loves it. And now we have a neighbor who's Russian. And she actually made it for him in exchange for, like, doing some handyman work.
Mm-hmm.
And he ate it all by himself. It was absolutely revolting. No offense mm-hmm. to anybody, but super gross.
Wow. I don't even like the name of that.
It has a different name, like, in Russian, but I can't ever remember it. But, yeah, herring in a red fur coat. Disgusting.
I'm not a fan of herring either. That's a big Danish thing, too, is to have herring. I remember going to a friend's, it was like one of our family's friend's house, and they had herring on toast or something
oh,
weird
golly.
Like that. And I remember sitting there like so hungry, and I'm like eating it and just trying to like be polite, but I just couldn't. But I will say, for me, the one thing that I tried that I was like, no, definitely not. I did a pilgrimage in Scotland for one of my classes uh-huh. for college, and
you're not gonna say haggis, are you?
I am.
You didn't have it prepared right then.
Maybe I didn't. I actually had to look it up to remember what's in it. Do you remember like what it?
It's all the bits of the sheep that mm. you don't want to eat by themselves.
Yeah, maybe I didn't have it prepared right, but I
traditionally made
eat it.
In the stomach of a sheep.
Yes, mm-hmm. I could not. Eat oh, it. I liked blood
I would
sausage.
Try it.
Blood sausage that was, is delicious.
Blood sausage
I love that.
Is good.
I love that.
Haggis but. Is very good if it's prepared right. It's like Brussels sprouts. If it's just boiled and prepared incorrectly, it does not taste good.
Yeah, but I don't
that's
like
the way
Brussels
chitlins
sprouts
are where I'm from. Like chitlins are intestines,
yes.
and then you clean them out and you boil them. And if you have them wrong, they smell of poop
yes.
and they are disgusting.
They are disgusting.
Oh my gosh. If you have them right, like they're good, but it's one of those things where like just you know what it is, so mentally it, if you don't grow up eating it, it's very hard to eat it knowing what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, the food that like as a kid I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna try but I'm not gonna do well, was when we went to our exchange student's family's house in East Germany. They were like, oh, we're gonna stop here at the butcher's, and I was like, oh, okay. And I went, and they came out with this long, skinny, brown-wrapped package. I was like, huh, what kind of meat is shaped like that? And then we got to their house, and it was an eel.
Oh, no.
And they served it. It was like a dried eel, and
no.
they served it with the head and,
oh,
like,
no.
just brought out some crackers and some cheese
no.
and, like, slit it, and they were, like, picking out the meat with the fork.
Oh, no.
And that was just... Oh, gosh, I can't eat things with a face on it.
No.
I did try it, but it was very hard. And then the one thing that we did, like, have that I really loved in Germany was their honey was very different.
Oh.
So we went to our exchange student's German grandmother's house, and she brought out this honey, and it was the consistency of butter. You, like,
ooh.
Had to scrape it out with a knife, and
like
it was
butter.
So good. Mm. So... Traveling is fun.
Traveling
sometimes
is fun.
You find things that you're like, ooh, I love this. And
yeah.
then sometimes you're like, I'm not putting that in my mouth.
Indeed. Indeed. So I actually do have a book for this episode. It's called The Plowman's Lunch and The Miser's Feast, Authentic Pub Food, Restaurant Fare, and Home Cooking from Small Towns, Big Cities, and Country Villages Across the British Isles by Brian Yarvin. It has traditional meals in here, like the full English breakfast, haggis. It's got the recipes in there. It also has a little bit of the information of classic British dishes. So you can find it in 641.594 of the nonfiction section.
Awesome.
Lovely. Yeah.
Thanks again for joining me, guys.
Absolutely.
Always this a pleasure delightful. To have you on. You always get to eat when I have you on the podcast.
Yes.
We're here anytime.
Because we see you with food and invite ourselves on your podcast.
Ooh, Rebecca, are you doing a podcast today? We must join. You must need our insight.
Traditionally, we talk about book recommendations. Do you have a book recommendation, Sarah?
I do, actually. I'm reading a book right now. It's the new Suzanne Collins Hunger Games book called The Ballad and the Songbirds and
Oh, yeah?
Snakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of like 3/4 way through.
Yeah.
And it's actually really good. It's a little bit different if you like really like the series, mm-hmm. The first Hunger Games series. So it's right. a little different because you're going back in time. But yeah, it's a very interesting to see how sort of the Hunger Games just evolved. From that time, so I don't know. We'll have to see how it ends.
So it's like a prequel?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
It's really good.
That's cool. Jonathan?
So I am reading a book called Educated by Tara Westover, and it's a memoir of her growing up off the grid. And so her family believed in the Illuminati, and they didn't send their kids to public school. They knew the Weavers from the Ruby Ridge incident, the standoff with the government. And it's very interesting because she was born in 1986, so she's not that much older than I am, but her life was totally different. Like, she did not go to public school for most of her life. She did not go to a doctor until she was an adult. She actually, when she was born, her family did not have a birth certificate for her or her younger brother because they did not report that they had children to the government because they wanted as little interference with their life.
Hmm.
And so things like going to the dentist was not part of her life. They would just deal with a sore tooth, or if you got hurt in a car accident, they would instead take you home because they believed that faith would heal you.
Wow.
And so it's very interesting. It's also incredibly scary. It's very well written and entertaining. And then I'm excited for another book. It's called The Rock Eaters, and it's a short story collection by Brenda Peinado, who teaches creative writing at UCF. And so I cannot wait to read that because the short story it's named for, The Rock Eaters, I listened to on a podcast, and it is a fantastic short story. It's a science fiction story, so I can't wait to read the rest of what she's written.
Very cool.
That sounds amazing.
All right, yeah, it does. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys. Any closing thoughts?
Well, no. I'm going to eat the rest of the scones.
I know, I'm just thinking about the clotted cream at this point.
I know. Oh,
it's still so tasty.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll log off on that. Thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you for having me today. I'm so excited that I got to be on this podcast eating clotted cream.
Thank you for inviting you, Virginia Doubtfire. Oh, you wicked, wicked podcasters.